today my throat is, well, it's been alright, it's about half an hour ago, and now my throat's not too good. It's interesting. Praise God. I'm going to just open up a series on the Holy Spirit, which we're going to do over the next few weeks. And we're going to go right into the basics. So just scratch it all the way back. Just who is the Holy Spirit? What is the Holy Spirit? What does the Holy Spirit do? We've got to understand that the Holy Spirit has a mind, has a will, and has an emotion. So many times we hear about people talking about the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to record these. These will be put on CD as well. So if anybody, you know, the rest of this year we'll be doing CDs and we'll be doing multiple copies of them. Because we really feel we've got something to give out. But so many times when it comes to the Holy Spirit, a lot of times it's very mystical. And so people talk about the Holy Spirit. People just mention the Holy Spirit. Now, some people that have been saved 20 years, all they know is about something called the Holy Spirit. They don't know who the Holy Spirit is. They don't know what the Holy Spirit is. They don't know what its functions are. All they know is that they feel it, and it's tangible, and it shows up. But if I was to say to you, who is the Holy Spirit? Where does the Holy Spirit come from? Then there will be questions that a lot of us, probably 70% of us, would not be able to answer. Now, I've been a Christian majority of my life from being a child. And I knew all about bits of the Word of God, and I saw the manifestation of the Spirit of God. In other words, the Spirit is just very much like the wind. So imagine the Spirit like the wind. We've all been able to hear the wind, haven't we? We've all been able to feel the wind, and we've been able to see the movements of the wind, because when there's a bit of wind that comes, it creates a lot of movement of some trees, and it can create a lot of damage. But you can't necessarily bottle up the wind. And that's the same with the Holy Spirit. You can see the effects of the Holy Spirit, but you can't bottle up the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not come in a jam jar. He does not come in a Christmas box. He doesn't come in a birthday present. He doesn't come from the NHS. And he doesn't come out of a cash machine. The Holy Spirit is God. And the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. And he is a representation and a manifestation and an expression of God. The Holy Spirit is not a her. It's not a him. The Holy Spirit is a being. The Holy Spirit is God. So many times people call it. Well, it showed up. Or it manifested. Some elements of the Bible that people have wrote, they've got it as a her. So they represent the Holy Spirit as a woman. And that is not right. That is wrong. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Now, there's many other spirits out there as well. And the reason it's called the Holy Spirit is because there are many, many, many varied and tested and different styles of spirits. And so it's called the Holy Spirit because there is one Holy Spirit. And so what we've got is we've got many spirits. And there's three predominant spirits that are manifesting in the churches in this day and age. And there's a Jezebel spirit. There's a spirit of Baal. And there's a Judas spirit. Now, the Jezebel spirit is a controlling spirit. And what we believe in is high accountability but low control, as Liam had said over a year ago. And that is something that we practice. You know, as long as people are open and transparent in who they are, and they're forward in who they are, then that's fine. You know, we don't need to know what people are doing 24 hours a day. But we do need to know that people are who they say they are. And it's not always easy. And then we've got what we call a Judas spirit. And a Judas spirit, you give it enough rope and it will hang itself eventually. But a Judas spirit is a traitor spirit. And that is somebody that says that they are behind you, but they're actually about 40 miles behind you. And they've probably got about 140 daggers lined up waiting for you. And so the Judas spirit is a spirit that is a traitor spirit. And so what happened was, is Jesus Christ came, he was sent from God, but he was betrayed by Judas. And so that is predominantly evident in today's society and in today's church as well. And you've also got the spirit of Baal or spirit of Baal. And that spirit we've talked about last year on why we started the United for Christ prayer meetings. And that spirit is a spirit that causes suicide. It's linked into witchcraft. It's a covenant-breaking spirit. It's a self-harming spirit. And it's a very much a tormenting spirit. Now, you've also got a spirit of death. There's also unclean spirits. There are false spirits. There are different kinds of spirits that manifest. There are what we call familiar spirits. And these spirits come on us, and when things seem familiar to us, it can be something of a relationship from years gone by. It can be something that you have gone through. A lot of people talk and call it deja vu. Well, no, that is not the case. There is not deja vu. It's called a familiar spirit. And so what you can do is, you could have done something 10 years ago, and in March this year, all of a sudden, you could feel like you're going through it again. It's called a familiar spirit. That familiar spirit is not from God, that is from the enemy. And so just the same as we've got the Holy Spirit, we've also got a counterfeit spirit that is evident in our lives in society today. And in some degrees, it's crept into the church. Now, I'm not slating the church. I love the church. We're a church here tonight. Wherever two or more are gathered, whether it's in Greg's, whether it's in Costa's, whether it's, no matter if it's in somebody's house, no matter where it is, wherever two or more are gathered, the Church of Jesus Christ is represented. And so the church is not about a steeple. It's not about the people. It's not about a name. But it's about God being manifest among the people that meet together. And so we've got these various spirits that are choosing to show up in different ways and in different styles. So how do you know that it's the Holy Spirit that is representing himself in your life? Well, it's always a clean spirit. It's not a familiar spirit. And what the Bible says the Holy Spirit is we're going to get into a bit further on, the Holy Spirit is a comforter, is a counselor, he's a guide and a leader, and he will guide and lead you into all truth. Any other spirit is false and will not lead you into truth. Any other spirit is always trying to copycat the original. Now, wherever you get an original, you're always going to have a counterfeit. And that's the same in every line of work, any line of business, or any line of church or ministry. It's like Nike trainers. There's always a copy of Nike trainers. They're telling me you go to Mexico and you can get anything you want that is copied. Dirt cheap. Armani suits for 20 quid. Rolex watches. You can get the whole lot. Nike, the whole. You can be kicking out and walk down the high street of North Allerton and people will think you're a millionaire and it's only cost you about £100. Because there's so much counterfeit there. It's the place to be. And that is the same. Jesus Christ always brings a counterfeit. When the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ shows up, the enemy always brings the counterfeit to us. Sorry, Helen? It's always close by. Because people cannot counterfeit the Holy Spirit. It's either the Holy Spirit or it's not. There is no counterfeit. Now, people talk about mediums. People talk about tarot cards. People talk about palm reading. People talk about horoscopes. They're all spirits. They're all a copycat of the real spirit. In fact, you look at Jasper and all this type of stuff. If you go to Revelations, it's all in there. Anything that is in the world has first of all come from the Bible. It's all a counterfeit. No matter what is out there, no matter what horoscopes are out there, it's all from what God has created, whether it's Jupiter, whatever people, call it, Cyrus and all this type of stuff, all these kinds of stones, they're all in the Bible. You can find all them words in the Bible. And so we've got so much out there which is counterfeit, but we want the real deal, don't we?
Amen.
We want the real Holy Spirit. There's a lot of people out there that mix the spirits. So people out there that are in the world, that are mixing the spirits. 1 minute it's Jack Daniels, next minute it's a bottle of wine, then it's vodka, and then all of a sudden they mix the spirits that much, they get themselves into a mess. Their heads get all messed up, they're throwing up, they can't handle it, because they're mixing spirits. And that is the same in the church. People mix the spirits in the church. You see, every house has a spirit. Every person has a spirit. Every church has a spirit. And we've got to be tuned in to the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that we've got to test the spirits, see whether they be of God. And that is something that we've got to do very much in today's society. We have got to test the spirits. Because how do you know it's not a Judas spirit? How do you know it's not going to turn around in 5 years' time and disown you? Or cause havoc for you? How do you know it's not a spirit of Baal, where all of a sudden it's going to cause some form of dissension? It's going to cause death. How do you know that it's not a spirit of Jezebel? How do you know that you're not being manipulated? How do you know it's not a controlling spirit if you don't test the spirits? And each one of these spirits all dress up really nice. They all look good. They all seem good. They all seem pleasing to the eye and to the ear. In fact, a lot of the spirits are ear tickling. And we hear so much about ear tickling gospels. Now, the Holy Spirit will never witness to your natural senses. The Holy Spirit will always witness to your heart and your soul. The Holy Spirit is not a touchy-feely Holy Spirit. It's a supernatural Holy Spirit. We cannot live off feelings or emotions, nor can we make plans off feelings and emotions. Even in ministry, it's so easy to think, well, we're going to do this, or we're going to do that, or we're going to plan for that. And it looks good, it feels good, and it touches local society, but actually is it what God is leading you to? And so we've got to know, what is this Holy Spirit? It's not an it, it's not a her, but it is a person. And notice, anything else that's wrote in the Bible that is not the Holy Spirit, or that is in the world that is not the Holy Spirit, comes across with a very small S. The Holy Spirit is a large S, because that is a domineering spirit that should control and run and be in our lives. It works out of relationship. Any other spirit is a controlling, manipulative spirit. So what spirit are we of? What spirit are we of? You've got people out there that are of different spirits. People that are of Mormonism. Got a lot of JWs. You've got other aspects. You've got Judaism. You've the Muslims. Hindus. Hare Krishna. Sikh him here. Sikh him there. Sikh him everywhere. You got the Sikhs. So what spirit are we of? It's vital that we know what spirit we're of. Because if we're of familiar spirits, then that's just going to lead us down to a dead end. But if we're of the Holy Spirit, that will lead you and guide you and bring you into all truth. Any other spirit is false. So, the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost is a term found in the English translation of the Bible to be understood differently among Arabic religious people. So, for instance, people call it all sorts of different things in different religions. But those of us that are born again and spirit-filled, those of us that have come along the lineage of Jesus Christ and of the seed of Christ Jesus, we are born of an incorruptible, incorruptible seed, which has come through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, the virgin birth came through the Holy Spirit. And so this Holy Spirit is a fantastic Holy Spirit to be around. It's the only spirit to be around. It's the Holy Spirit that will bring life and not death. So our belief in the Holy Spirit implies that there must be three beings. Now, God has not got schizophrenia, okay? And he does not, you know, he doesn't have brain damage, and there's no fallout between the Godhead. Now, we talk about the Godhead. What is the Godhead? The Godhead exists of three persons, three beings. Amen. So when you've heard about the Godhead, or you hear about the Trinity, that is three beings. That is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're all one, but have three aspects and many functions. And they can show up in three different forms. In the Old Testament, in Genesis, all the way through the Old Testament, we've got the man, Christ Jesus, who comes as a form of God. So God is the Father, who has a Son, Jesus, who left the Holy Spirit with us. So we've got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And that is the triune Godhead. Amen. That is a three in one. It's a bit like you've got an apple. You've got the outside of the apple, which is different colours, red or green. You peel away the outside and you've got the main focus of the apple. But as you eat through the apple, you come to a core. And that is like the Holy Spirit. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The three in one. There is no competition. They're all complementing each other. Okay? There's no brain damage. There's no confusion. And remember, there's no I in team. It's not all about I, me, and myself. It's about unity, not human uniformity. And there's evidence of unity is established in the kingdom of God. And it came through the triune Godhead.
Amen.
Now, when was the Holy Spirit represented? The Holy Spirit was represented in the Garden of Eden. Where did the Holy Spirit come from? The Holy Spirit came from God. It was only deposited and left with us in the New Testament. When God sent Jesus, his Son, who could not be in 100 places at once, but his Spirit could be. And so he was there right back in the Garden of Eden. Because we read in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 3 and 4, it says that the Holy Spirit was hovering, or the Spirit was hovering over the face of the deep. So the Holy Spirit was there in the Garden of Eden. The Holy Spirit is Almighty God. The Holy Spirit is seen by Christians as one person of the triune God who revealed his holy name, Yahweh, to his people Israel, sent his eternity begotten Son, Jesus, to save them or to save us from our sins, and sent the Holy Spirit to sanctify and give life to his church.
Amen.
The triune God manifests as three persons in one divine being called the Godhead, the divine existence of God. The Holy Spirit is the third person in the Trinity. He is fully God. He is eternal, omniscient,
Amen.
Omnipresent,
Amen.
Has a will, and can speak.
Amen.
He is alive. He is a person. He is not partially visible in the Bible because his ministry is to bear witness of Jesus. So he's not just partially visible, he is there, Genesis to Revelations, because he is there to bear witness of Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus said, I only do what my Father tells me to do. He only manifested it through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there no matter what situation we go through, he is there as the third person of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So where is the Holy Spirit from? In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God, large S, was hovering over the face of the waters. Genesis chapter 1 verses 1 and 2. How was the Holy Spirit involved in creation? The Son of God and the second person of the Trinity was involved with God the Father in the creation of everything. Let's look at John 1:1. John 1:1. This is a good series, guys. Please don't feel bored. It's something that we really need to know about the Holy Spirit. Where he is, what he is, where he's come from, how he manifests in our lives, how to be filled with the Spirit, how to walk in the Spirit. Because, you know, the Bible talks about having the Spirit in us, but not only in us, but on us, not only around us, not only on us, but around us. You see, the birds of the air, they have what we call the omnipresent. The Holy Spirit is omnipresent. That's why people that are unsaved and high on drugs or on substance or drink or whatever can come into a meeting and they can feel the manifest presence of God. In fact, they can get slain in the Spirit. In fact, God can speak to them. That is an omnipresent. But we need the on us and on me presence of God. See, the Old Testament, the birds of the air, the cows in the field, the goats, the sheep, everything, the ants, they had the presence of God. That was the omnipresence. But we need the on us presence of God that is on us, that saturates us, that is in our life, where we have a relationship with Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
So John 1:1-3, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it."
Amen.
Genesis 1 and verse 2, as we just read up there earlier. Genesis 1 and verse 2, it says, "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." We see that the Spirit of God was involved in creation. The Hebrew word for Spirit is often translated as wind or breath in the Old Testament. So in the Old Testament, you hear it about the wind of his presence, or when God breathed. So God breathed his Spirit into Adam, and then Eve was formed, and even into the bones. Elijah, they breathed. He said, "Speak to these bones." He said, "Breathe into these bones." It talks about the wind of his presence in the Old Testament as well. That is the Spirit. So again, remember what we said at the beginning. The Spirit comes in various forms, like the wind. You can see the effects of the wind, and you can feel the wind, but we can't bottle it up. The same word is found in Psalm 33 and verse 6. Psalm 33 and verse 6. "By the word of the Lord, the heavens and the earth were made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth." Here we gain a glimpse of the Spirit's work in creation. "By the word of the Lord of the heavens were made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of the Spirit of his mouth." The next verse of this continues, "He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses." Certainly, this should remind us of how the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters in Genesis. If we look closer at the word "hovering," we find that it conveys the idea of a bird sitting in a nest, hovering and brooding over her eggs, caring for the new lives. The same word is used to describe an eagle stirring up its nest and hovers over its young. That's in Deuteronomy 32:11. So it's like the Holy Spirit is hovering over seeds. The Holy Spirit is hovering over each one of us. You see, I believe at the moment God's stirring something up in myself. And I know Ellen has got a few bits on birthing as well at the moment. And I'm sure at some point she'll be sharing that. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is hovering over us at the moment. I believe as a church and I believe as individuals, the Holy Spirit has something being birthed inside of us. I believe that we're all breeding grounds for the supernatural to manifest. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is hovering. I believe that 2014 is going to be a year of increase.
Amen.
And I believe it's going to be a year where we see the manifest presence of God tangibly in our day-to-day lives.
Amen.
And I believe it's the year of breakthrough, and I believe it's the year of abundance. And I believe it's the year of the open door, as John Featherstone was saying. with no limitations.
Amen.
Finances won't be a limitation. Food won't be a limitation. Transport won't be a limitation. Nothing will be a limitation for what God wants to do in this region and this nation.
Amen.
God prepared, or preparing to bring life into the world through His Spirit. God designed all of creation for life, our life. By His Spirit, God ordained the heavens, and they were designed with us in mind. That is Job 26, 13.
Amen.
So that God made the heavens and the earth, and we were designed by God. When God designed the heavens and the earth, He had us in mind. You were in mind. Andy, you were in God's mind. Ali, you were in God's mind. Way before creation of the world, He's designed you for such a time as this. None of us are misfits. None of us are mistakes. None of us have made mistakes. Everything is preordained under God. God has made it. God has designed it. And God will jolly well see it through. In every one of our lives. God does not give up. God does not give in. There's no turning back. For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who formed the earth and made it. He did not create it empty. He formed it to be inhabited. He didn't create the heavens and the earth just empty. He didn't create them void. He created them to be inhabited by us. See, the heavens and the earth have been created. They are perfect. The seasons, spring, summer, autumn, winter, they are perfect seasons. There's nothing wrong with them seasons. You won't change them seasons. Man tries to change the seasons. Man doesn't want summer or winter, spring or winter, or they want summer all the time. They want it always to be 30-odd degrees and, you know, basking in the sun so we can all, you know, drive around with our roofs open and walk around with shorts on them. But actually, God has designed everything perfect. It's human beings that have deformed it. Human beings that have fallen out of line with His creation. Why? Because we've gone after other spirits and not submitted ourselves to the Holy Spirit. The scripture describes a similar offering of the Holy Spirit in one of the greatest miracles of all time. And this is what we've just come through at Christmas time, isn't it? The miraculous conception of Jesus Christ. And the angel answered and said to Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you."
Amen.
Supernatural. So I'm saying the supernatural birthing is going to take place in 2014 in our lives. Amen. That is taken from Luke 1 and 35. Just as God worked through Jesus and the Holy Spirit to bring life in the dark, formless world at creation, He also now offers eternal life to anyone who repents and believes through the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is 100% man, 100% God. He is the man, Christ Jesus.
Thank you.
Now, if you're in this room tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you don't know what the Holy Spirit is all about, if you don't understand what the Spirit is, then what I would suggest is that you get yourself a good Bible and that you start to see who God is. Because if you don't know God, then you don't know life. And if you don't know life, then you don't know God. Because the only true way to live life is to live life in God and through God. The only way to know God, or the only way to know the Holy Spirit, is to have a relationship with God. The only way for us to live a life that is holy and pleasing to God is to honor Him and have Him first place in our life. And I would encourage you, before you leave this place tonight, to find out who God is. to get right or get left behind. Jesus Christ died on a cross thousands of years ago for you and for me. He didn't die because you're a sinner. He died to restore your relationship back to him. The reason why Jesus Christ died is because we all sinned and fell short of the glory of God. But he formed us and created us, not in our mother's womb, but before the foundation of the world. And the one reason he created us was for a relationship. And you are a son and you are a daughter of Jesus Christ tonight. And if you don't know him, then you don't know your father. It's not about our earthly fathers or our earthly mothers. If we don't know God, then we don't know the Father. And if we don't know the Father, there is no way to heaven. The only way is to go is to a place that we call lost eternity, which is hell. But there's a great place to get to gain, and that's heaven. And we can spend eternity with our Father, the man, Christ Jesus. Or we can spend it in eternity with the enemy, the devil, who's a serpent, who's a rat, and who causes so much mayhem at different points. But I would guarantee if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior tonight, there's no going back. I can't guarantee you a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. I can't guarantee you a flash car and your debt wrote off. I can't guarantee you roses. But I can guarantee you roses with quite a few thorns.
Amen.
But I can guarantee this, that God will always be there. God will always answer your questions. He'll never leave you, never forsake you. And his love is everlasting to everlasting. He'll never let you down. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And he'll never lie to you. God is a God who cannot lie. And he has set eternity in the hearts of every man. So if you don't know him, please, before you leave this place tonight, acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You see, God said, let us make man in our image. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. So Genesis chapter 1 and 26. God says, let us, then God said, let us. This is the first example of the Godhead, of the deity. This is when God was speaking to his Son and to the Spirit. He says, then God said, let us, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the triune Godhead, make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Sounds a bit creepy, doesn't it?
Amen.
So the Holy Spirit is from God. We've established that, right? So the Holy Spirit was there, not just when God decided to leave us and ascend to heaven, but the Holy Spirit was there in creation. Mm. See, the Holy Spirit was not just a last minute idea, but the Holy Spirit was not plan B. The Holy Spirit was there from the creation of the earth.
Amen.
So, who is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? So we've done, what is the Holy Spirit? Where is the Holy Spirit from? Now we're doing, who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is a person. The third person of the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is not a vague imagination or a vague shadow. Nor an impersonal force. He is a person equal in every way with the Father and the Son, Jesus. All the divine attributes ascribed to the Father and the Son are equally ascribed to the Holy Spirit. So when you get God, who cannot lie, the Holy Spirit cannot lie. When you get God, who's the healer, you get the Holy Spirit, who's the healer. When you got God, who created covenants and won't break covenants, you've got the Holy Spirit who will not break covenants. So everything the Father says, the Son says, and the Holy Spirit says, it's a three in one. The Bible said a three-strand cord is not easily broken. So you see, you can't get the Spirit without God. And you can't get the Son without God. You see? We can't just have one. Now, there's some aspects that people want. People want God. Why do people want God? Four things. Good answer. Exactly. People want to seek God because they want his hand. They want finances. They want food. They want help. They want answers to prayers all the time. It's always gimme, gimme, gimme. I want a bigger house. I want a bigger car. I want a bigger ministry. I want more people saved. I want a bigger church. People are never happy, never satisfied. So we all want God. We all want his handouts. So people want to seek his hand, but they don't seek his face. So then why do people not want the Spirit? A couple of simple ones is because the Holy Spirit will manifest in your life. And what did we say? That the Holy Spirit was there and it outshone the darkness because it hovered over the spirit of the deep. Light always outshines darkness.
Amen.
Darkness does not outshine light. When we came to this room tonight, it was dark. As soon as the lights came on, the darkness went. God has called us to shine a light, not to shine a torch. The trouble is when we go around shining torches into people's lives, we leave a lot of shadows around. And we fail to look at ourselves. But what God did is he turned the light up of all eternity. Because he believes in opening up and exposing everything for what it is. Whether it's good or whether it's bad.
Amen.
And so one of the reasons why people don't like the Holy Spirit is because he shows up at undue times. At times when we don't always expect him. That's why people don't always like words of knowledge. The only reason words of knowledge comes is through the Holy Spirit manifesting and bearing witness with us as sons of God that can speak and can expose. Even in this town, there are areas of darkness that God is going to expose and is exposing through all this region. Areas where there's been death, areas where there's, you know, been sexual abuse, areas where there's been physical abuse or mental abuse. God is going to expose that. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will outshine any other spirit that is around.
Amen.
And so that's why people don't want to be around the Holy Spirit. They want to be around other spirits.
Yeah.
They want to be around familiar spirits, spirits that make them feel good. But they don't want to be around the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is the spirit of openness, honesty, and truth.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
So he is equal. Personality, a person is composed of intelligence, emotions, and will. So each one of us in this room, our personality is composed of intelligence, emotions, and will. So let's just have a quick look at 1 Corinthians 2. So we're going to be studying this over the next few weeks, so keep coming and keep getting tanked up as we open this up. It indicates that the Holy Spirit has intellect, this verse, doesn't it? So 1 Corinthians 2:11. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So for what man knows the things of man except the Spirit? Now, what do you know of me in man to man? Nothing unless the Spirit reveals it to you. You might know a little bit if you know me as a person in a relationship. You know, you might know I'm married, you might know I enjoy Arsenal, you might know different things that I'm involved in or whatever. That's outside, that's all periphery. But how do you get to my spirit? How does God invade my spirit, my flesh? How does God speak to me? Through the spirit, not through man. So it's through his spirit of what? Intellect. It's through what he knows, his foreknowledge. Mm. That's right. So he speaks to us. You see, always remember, God's got a voice, and it's you. You are not an echo, okay? You are not to be quiet, you are a voice. You are to sing songs. You are to write songs. You are to preach the gospel. You are to encourage people. That is who we are. We are a voice. Some people are louder than others. Some people get on other people's nerves. Just ask my wife. She'll tell you that. She probably thinks, why don't you use your voice for the right things? But we all have a voice. My wife's got a voice. And too many times, everybody hears my voice and don't hear my wife's voice. But my wife's got as much to give as I've got to give. And anybody in this room has got You know, if you've got sermons, if you've got poems, if you've got songs you want to give, come and speak to us. We're all about encouraging people. Joel will be speaking the last Saturday this month. I think it's Saturday the 25th. He's going to be speaking. So, we believe in encouraging people to speak and stir up what's inside people. You know, that's what we're about. We're encouraging. We're not here to build a ministry. We're not here to build a church. We're here to build God's kingdom. And, you know, we mean that. And we're easily move on to the next town if God doesn't want that to happen. But it's not about us. And we'll speak a little bit more about that when the recording's not on, just towards the end, because we want to encourage people. What evidence do you observe in Romans 15 and 30? Let's go to Romans 15 and verse 30. So just a page back. So what evidence do we observe in Romans 15 and 30 that the Holy Spirit has emotions? How does the Holy Spirit exercise his will as recorded in 1 Corinthians 12, 11? So it's linking it in. So Romans 15, 30 says, "Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from those in Judea and Judah who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints." These describe the nature of the Holy Spirit in each of the following references. So let's go to John 16, 13. So John 16, 13. These describe the nature of the Holy Spirit. "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth." This is the Holy Spirit. "And he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And whatever he will tell you things to come." So this is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says, however, when he, the Holy Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. And he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. Okay? Romans 8 and verse 2. Romans 8 and verse 2, it says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you, me, free from the law of sin and death." So the Spirit of God is life. Hebrews 10, 29. Hebrews 10, 29. "Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will be taught worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he has sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace?" So the common references here is that he's a comforter, he's a guider, he has an emotion, because here it says, in verse 10 it says, to abuse his grace. The Spirit of grace. So there's a Spirit of grace as well that's evident. So the Holy Spirit has got many attributes. He's got such a nature. His nature is not carnal. His nature brings life. It brings grace. It brings mercy. The Holy Spirit will not speak of his own accord. He will not boast or be proudful. This is the best example of a team. Remember, we talked about the team. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There is no I in team. The triune are a team. There is no competition in the Godhead. They complement each other.
Amen.
So, names of the Holy Spirit. So the names God, Lord, Spirit, Son of Spirit of God, Spirit of Truth, Eternal Spirit. His attributes. His Spirit is eternal, omnipotent, omnipresent. His Spirit is a will. The Spirit loves. The Spirit speaks. Three symbols of the Holy Spirit is a dove. Sorry, the four is a dove, the wind, fire, and his breath. Breath. Sins against the Spirit that manifest in our lives. Blasphemy. Resist. When we resist, when we have unbelief, that is a sin against it. To insult the Holy Spirit. To lie to the Holy Spirit. To grieve the Holy Spirit. And to quench the Holy Spirit. They are sins against the Holy Spirit. Now you notice that it's a separate from the sins of carnality, sins of substance abuse, or sins of going out and having sex outside of marriage, or going out and getting drunk, or going out and beating somebody up. There's different aspects of sins. And too many times we paint everybody with the same brush of sin. You see, when we're in Christ Jesus, we're not sinners. We're not born to sin. We were born to have a relationship. Amen. So when we're in Christ Jesus, we are not sinners, but we choose to sin. Just to make that clear. In Christ Jesus, we are not sinners. Why are we not sinners? Because we are the righteousness of Jesus Christ. How? Through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But we still choose to sin. Yeah. Because we are in a carnal nature, in a carnal body. Okay? So I'm not saying that none of us sin. I'm making clarity that we all are able to sin. But we are not sinners because we have been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And actually, Hebrews said that he has washed our sins, past, present, and future. Because he says that there is no longer need, in Hebrews 12, it says there is no longer need for a goat or a sheep sacrifice. Because he has sacrificed the precious Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, thousands of years ago. Amen. And that blood was atoning and is wiped away every sin that ever was, is, or will come. It's been washed clean in the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says he's rolled our sins into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered ever again. The only way them sins can be remembered is through, what did we say the Spirit was? A familiar spirit. Not through the Holy Spirit. God will never ever throw your past at you. He will only throw your future. If people are throwing your past at you, that is from the enemy. It's not from God. God will never remind you of your past. He only wants to thrust you into your destiny.
Amen.
Okay? And it's not about the past. It's about a destiny in Christ Jesus. So when people come to you and they say, but you can't do that because of what you did 3 years ago. But you can't do that because of what happened 20 years ago. Oh, that'll never amount to anything because 30 years ago we did that. Well, sorry, go back to your little history lesson. Well, we go forward into what God's got for us.
That's right.
Because you'll never amount to anything if you're looking back.
No.
We sung the song tonight. Dave said, you know, it's not about the parachute. It's about the ground that we're on. We sing a song, Cornerstone. All of the ground is sinking sand. The ground that we stand on has got to be solid ground. And so there are sins out there that we choose to do. But they don't necessarily come against what God is doing. But these sins do. These sins grieve the Holy Spirit. And one thing I always say is that is the unseen guest to every meal is the Holy Spirit. And he's the unseen listener at every conversation. Make sure your heart's pure. Make sure your heart's clean when you're talking or passing a comment about something or someone or a ministry or a worship leader or a pastor, whoever it is, because the Holy Spirit is there. And we've just said sins against is blasphemy, unbelief, insult, to lie about or to be lied to or to grieve or to quench. Some of the biggest sins that the churches are committing nowadays is quenching the Holy Spirit. In by 10, out by 11. 3 hymns, 2 words, 3 points and a poem. And off we go to the roast dinner. Well, we're not about that. We're about having a manifest presence of God in our lives. But too many times people are boxing up the Holy Spirit. Just like going to Lourdes or whatever it is, Lourdes or whatever, and putting their feet in and trying to think that they're getting healed. and they're bottling up holy water from Israel and all this type of stuff and all these gimmicks on God TV. All we need is one touch from the Holy Spirit that will change everything for us. Power in Christ's life through the Holy Spirit. Conceived, remember? Jesus, Mary, conceived with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Led by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Witnesses of Jesus.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit raised Jesus to life.
Amen.
So we'll leave it there for today. So we're going to touch a bit more on that.